The Dugout CEO podcast is on the air. I'm Phil Van Horn, baseball lifer and fan of the Dugout CEO. Each week, Casey Cavell goes around the horn with baseball superstars, Hall of Fame coaches, and business leaders who've used baseball experience to win the game of life. Now batting, Casey Cavell.
Dugout Nation, welcome to the Dugout CEO podcast. Today, I'm joined by Tim Saunders, a baseball lifer, former college baseball coach at Indiana University, and a high school state championship winning coach, and a USA Baseball Olympic Development Coach of the Year. He's a former executive at the National High School Baseball Coaches Association, and it really comes out in the show. He is one of the more humble human beings I have ever met. He has career accolades that are a mile long, and I know you're going to learn a ton from our time together. Tim, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Casey. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, so let's jump into the man with the plan. I think we're going to talk about the plan and having a purpose behind everything you do, Tim. I know you're super passionate about that, but I know back in 2017, something happened to you that probably wasn't in your plan. Talk about that. You're working some baseball camps in the summer of 2017. Tell us a little bit about that story, Tim, and maybe some lessons that you learned along the way.
In 2017, I went to a camp, and it's a camp I still work at up in Massachusetts called Camp Greylock. And I was, we're on a lunch break, got an hour and 45 minutes for lunch break. And basically, I was trying to catch up. I only had 2 days left for the camp, and I was driving back home to Ohio, and school was going to start in 2 weeks. So I was catching up on my Bible study that we were supposed to look at, but I'm in a group I'm with that I was going to catch up before I got back so I'd be on track. And you know, out of the blue, I just felt something strange in my head that felt like pouring molasses over top of my head. It was just a slow drizzle. So I said, I'm going to take a shower. And I don't know what this would be, but nothing serious. I took a shower and could barely get myself dressed when I was done, dry myself off. And I crawled out of the room. And luckily, a guy came by one of the mowers there. It's a mowing crew came by. And I yelled at him and said, I think I got to get to the hospital. And so he took me down to an infirmary, and the doctor comes out, and we have a full-time doctor. So they have 400 kids there all summer long, so they have a full-time doctor on staff. And the doctor, I said, hey, I think I got a blood vessel broken in my brain. And the doctor started laughing. He said, how would you know that? And I said, well, because the player that played for me, his name's Kent Merker, played for the big leagues, played for Atlanta Braves. And it happened to him when he was in Colorado. He took a pitch and fell flat on his face. And later on, I talked to Kent, and Kent said, here's what it felt like, and it was a subarachnoid hemorrhage. And by the time I got in the ambulance, they called, and I got to the hospital in New York an hour later. I don't remember anything from, you know, that for like 2 or 3 days. And then it ended up it was a subarachnoid hemorrhage. So Kent called me in the hospital, and he said, hey, I heard you had this brain bleed, subarachnoid hemorrhage. I said, yes. I said, how long were you in the hospital, Kent? He said, well, they kept me in the hospital for 11 days, but I could have been gone and released in 3, but they kept me for 11. Well, so I told my wife, I'm going to be home. I'm going to be leaving here in like 3 days. And of course she flew up right away and she was there the whole time with me. But, it took 11 days later, they released me and I got to drive home or ride home with my wife. And it took me till after Thanksgiving to be back on my feet. And what I realized is how complicated the body really is. I mean, there's so many little aspects that go wrong. And when you're working with kids and after that, I never was a person that ran kids in the ground and wait till they throw up before I quit. But after that, it made me realize, you know what? Conditioning is great, but you don't have to condition that hard. Something might go wrong. If it's on your time, you're never going to live it down. You're never going to be right. But just to love your kids more, respect their feelings. And of course, now in this day and age, we've got so many issues going on with our youth, adults as well, but especially with our youth trying to make it through. So just to be more compassionate, just to be more understanding, make sure you're a lot of ears and less talk. So yeah, it was a miracle. The doctor said, "Hey, if you make it through 3 days, you'll make it." And that's what my wife told me later. Well, I made it through 3 days, but I didn't get out of there in 3 days. That's for sure.
Wow. Yeah, it's so good to compassion, understanding, listening. It's huge. And you've been a coach for decades now, and won state championships 20, 30 years ago versus the athlete now versus the athlete then. You were kind of mentioning that we're having challenges with young people. Are we having the same challenges with young people? Let's say the high school age kid, right, that we had back in the early 2000s when we were winning state championships versus now. Have players changed? Have parents changed? What does that look like?
There's been a lot of changes. I don't know exactly where to start, but the biggest thing you got to realize is that if you're a coach, in my opinion, you can't just coach these days. When I started out 45 years ago, you could just coach. There was a line, and that line in the sand, the parents didn't cross the line. They trusted you to know to be with their kids. And the players didn't cross the line, and the coaches didn't have to cross the line. But in the past 15 to 20 years, I would say, and I've even talked to a lot of college coaches about this, that you've got to get to know the whole family. You've got to know the kids. You've got to know their parents. And I've realized that, you know what, no one can trust you. And we've always known this. I can't trust a person until I get to know them. So I've always been a big believer that your biggest job is get to know your players and your parents. That way, when something blows up, you've got their support. If they don't know you, it's got to be your fault, coach, because this has never happened before. So I would say the biggest part is that you have to know, you can't just coach. You've got to have a relationship. And if that relationship goes sour, it's not a pleasant situation.
So what advice would you give to somebody that has to build that relationship? One, with whether they're a coach and they're leading a player, or they're a business owner and they have a direct report. Like, how do you build trust? How do you build that relationship with who you're leading? And then we can talk about the parent later.
I think you just got to spend time with them. It can't be on a text. You're not meeting one on a text. And that's the problem, I think. I say that social media is going to be the death of our country. It may be the death of the world, especially with things that are, you think somebody's telling you this. Now, with AI coming in, it sounds like this guy's voice or this girl's voice. It sounds like this is legit. It looks like it's coming from my bank, but it's not coming from my bank. So I try to stay away from a lot of that, but knowing that that's the world that we're in, kids are growing up to this. It's their involvement and their issues are related more to the social issues. So I look at, I think you got to meet a person face to face to get to know them. You got to spend time with them to really understand them. And for me, it's like and I'm working the golf course now, and we got a great boss, and he's going to come around. He's not around a lot with us when we go out on our jobs, but he checks in with us. Hey, how's it going? I saw this. I saw that. You missed this. But at the same time, complimenting and letting you know you're doing a good job. And I think, you know, you can overcompliment because everybody loves compliments, but you can overcompliment. The guy thinks he's doing great until the day he's not, and he gets told that. But I think spending time with individuals, finding a way to reach out, and if nothing else, just eat lunch with them. Just go up and stop in their office, just whatever it might be. Just let them know that you know they're there, you appreciate their work. Hey, good job. How's this project going? And let's just keep it up. You know, I know it's going slow, but we're still working on it.
Sure.
And if you don't have time, then with the individual, I don't think you're advancing very far with your relationship.
How does somebody that has to have 10, 20 different relationships do that with the people they lead? Does it have to be one-on-one, belly-to-belly, or is that part of it, but there's also spending time as a group or a team? Because that does seem like a lot of pressure on somebody. If you're at the head of your organization, where you're the head coach or the CEO, like earning trust throughout everybody, like how does one do that with the limited amount of time it feels like you have?
Well, I think there's a couple ways for myself, but If you look at the way, it can be in groups. It doesn't have to be every day. It doesn't have to be every morning. It doesn't have to be every evening. But it's when you get a chance, walk around and let people know that you care about them. Because if people know you care about them, then they're on your side. And my belief. But at the same time, if I go out and get a chance to talk to other people or to make sure that we're working together as a group, we can have our group experiences. which is basically in baseball and football and basketball, be your practice times, but also follow up with the ones that are your superiors, because I may be the head guy, but my assistant coach is running the pitching staff. You know, I want to go down with them while they're working out and let them know that, hey, I see what you're doing here. Keep it up. It's going to pay off in the end. And I think it can be done in many different ways. But I think the eye-to-eye contact, face-to-face, is much more valuable than just sending out a letter of thank you or an email of thank you. And I think that's how you advance it. But yeah, the relationship there. But the other part is, I've always said for myself, I need to be the hardest worker out there. If I set the example and set the tone, then no one can sit back and say, well, coach is lazy. He just sits on a bucket and he doesn't do anything. Or that guy just sits in his office all day long and doesn't do a darn thing. If they see you doing hard work, labor work, then they trust you more that, hey, he's not just talking the talk. He's actually walking the walk and doing some things. He's not above the work ethic that needs to be done for people at my level, whatever the level that might be. And for instance, like when I got down, I never left the field until it was completely finished. And I didn't even have my players in the end. I didn't have them help me because I didn't want to redo what they were supposed to do. So when they're leaving and going home, then I'm staying another hour and a half edging and dragging and putting stuff away where they can see that I'm still there and it's dark and they're already home, had their shower and had their dinner already. So I think you can't be above and beyond the workload that other people are doing.
Yeah,
but I think it's very noticeable when the lower level sees the upper level doing nothing but criticize, but they know the work needs to be done, but they're not willing to help out.
Do you find a lot of leaders use the word criticize? You said earlier, Tim, that somebody thinks they're doing a good job until one day they're told they're not. Do you feel like leaders today are good at healthy communication when players or those they're leading are not doing a great job, or do they bottle these things up and then one day it just comes out?
I've always said this. I think there's many things in life that you're born with. Can you be taught that? Yes. But if your personality doesn't fit what you're trying to get accomplished, even though you have the education and the smarts and the degree, it's going to be tough for a person to come out of their shell to change who they are if they were born an introvert and they're not willing to come out and express that. So I've always think part of this is part of being successful is genes that's inside you unless you work at overcoming. Give you an example. I used to, when I was young and asked to speak at a couple of clinics, I mean, and they were small clinics, and I was so nervous about for 2 or 3 days just making sure I don't fumble this and mess it up. It took me a long time to be able to be confident enough in a group of people that also knew the game to let them know that I'm confident what I do works for me. And if you try these things, it'll probably work for you, or could a good chance to work for you. So, but that was built over time that I got to the level where I could actually speak at an audience of 500 or 1,000 at a national convention and feel comfortable about what I do is what I know is what I do. So, but I think it's something you got to work at. It's really something you have to work at. And there's a lot of uncomfortable situations you find yourself into, whether you get them in yourself or else they just happen to come upon in the environment that you're in. So I think it's something we have to realize. If we realize we need work on that, just like anything, then you know what, guys, I need to work on this. And a lot of people, I don't think they don't like to look at their negatives or the things that they're not really confident in. They kind of just ignore those. And then all of a sudden, when you actually need that skill, you don't have it because you didn't practice it when you had the opportunities.
It's interesting because I don't think anybody's ever taught, or maybe there's not a class taught on how to have a tough conversation, how to give good critical feedback in a constructive way. Like I don't think there's a book or a system, or maybe there is a book or a system, but it's not something that we like run to. But would you agree that our ability to go there and have tough conversations and confront when things aren't working and be able to get one-on-one with somebody and share how you're really doing and how they're making you feel or maybe where they need to improve, like, is that a key to maximizing your and their potential?
Oh, I think 100%. You know, I student taught in 1981 and I had a really good coach. that I taught phys ed under, and he was the head coach, and we went on and got beat in the state finals that year. But his experience, he told me, Tim, as you get older, you want to run around and hang around the people in your field, the baseball field, the phys ed field, the doctor field, whatever it might be. He said, the way you improve yourself is to hang out with people that have the same passion and have the same background as you as far as your profession. He said, you know what? If you're a doctor, you hang around doctors. If you're a lawyer, you hang around lawyers. If you're a baseball coach, you want to go to events and you want to meet and hang around baseball coaches. So I think that's where the mentorship is really valuable. That if I've got a problem with a person, whether an administrator or a player, a parent, I can feel free to call somebody that's a really good friend of mine and say, how would you handle this situation? To give me a better outlook or a different view that maybe I have not been thinking about. And over time, you've covered a lot of bases.
Do you think a lot of coaches today have that group that they surround themselves with that it's like, hey, look, I got something going on right now. I got somebody I can call that's in my corner that's going to shoot me straight. Maybe not tell me what I want to hear, but what I really need to hear. Or are coaches, leaders in general, more, hey, all right, I got to figure this thing out on my own. I'm comfortable sharing how I'm really doing with others. What do you find?
Well, I find a combination of both. I think if you grow up with a really good support system, number one, hopefully it's your parents that have taught you a lot of things along the way. Number two, it's your teachers and your coaches that you've had in the past. I mean, I've seen many, many coaches that say they had a terrible high school experience, but they played baseball or football or basketball, and now they're coaching. They probably didn't learn a lot from that person about what I can use towards my life skills, as well as what may have happened, you know, on the athletic field. But also you've got your people who went to college and said, I did not like my college coaches, but they played there. And now they're coaching because they played at a college level. And many will tell you, I didn't learn anything from my college coach. I just did my own thing. So that's unfortunate. What you hope happened is this guy taught me so much. And you do see that a lot. But I think there's twice as many that did not get the good experience that got the good experience. And now they're in the same situation as their high school or college coach. Can I be better than them? And many times it's not because I don't have the background to know who I can go to.
Wow. So interesting. You're right. Cause it is, if you haven't been modeled it, it's what you know. And that almost comes out whether you want it to come out or you don't want it to come out. Versus somebody that has been modeled it well. I'm a big basketball fan, and I look at Purdue University. You know, Matt Painter, our coach, played for Gene Katie. He had a great role model, and there's a lot of similar success because he was modeled it. So that's really interesting. If you have that person, I think that's great. The people that are listening to this right now that might not be that person that has that core group of people they can go to and speak to, where they're bottling up their frustrations, they're seeing some of that stuff that isn't working, but they're unsure how to solve it. What advice would you give them, or how do they even start reaching out for help?
Well, I think you look at the field that you're in, the situation. I want to match up a situation that's going to match similar to my situation. You know, I'd say call me, but being a baseball coach and a high school teacher isn't going to help somebody in the business field that I have no knowledge about levels of seniority, superiority, bonus money, who gets it, who doesn't get it. I don't understand that because I never went through that. But you got to find somebody, I think, that's in your field that you can reach. The good thing about athletics, we got the clinics every year. You got your conventions. You got your coaches' meetings that are mandatory for your areas. So it's almost forced upon you to be there. So now you just have to take advantage of it. If I'm in the business world, I know there's meetings about things in your area, in the law field, the doctor field. There's things that I need for my upgrades for my own license. But maybe it's like, hey, while I'm there, I'm not just attending this to get my upgrades and to keep my licenses. I'm there to actually meet people and listen to people talk, but also meet others that I can, whether I drink or not, have a beer with, or let them have a beer and I'll just sit and pick your brain. I mean, I've had many opportunities to sit down with college coaches over breakfast or lunch or dinner at conventions. And to be honest, that helped me because it put me on a higher stage, because you can increase your own stock by going out and visiting people because now I like this young man. I like this young lady. I might have an opportunity here that works for you. That's how I got involved in a lot of things I got involved with over time that I never, ever dreamed about. And now all of a sudden it's like, hey, we had an opening with USA Baseball. Would you like to go to Mexico for 10 days with the, geez, I unbelievable. I mean, so yeah, I'd love to take advantage of that. So it opens up a lot of doors when it's face to face and you're actually communicating. When the problems open up, I have people call me, but I know there's a lot that are afraid. They're afraid to ask for help. And students and people in normal are afraid to ask for help. That's why they get themselves in such a hole in life and they think they can't survive it. But, you know, people are generous people. I think you reach out and sometimes, you know what, you can call a coach up or a person and not even know them. Just say, hey, I'm looking for advice. Can you help me out? If they answer you, that's a plus. If not, then you know what? I didn't lose anything. At least I tried.
Yeah, good. Let's go back to talking about the current modern athlete. Let's just use a high school athlete. Some people listening to this have sons, daughters that are athletes. You mentioned earlier, used to be that coach could just coach, and now they have to earn trust or build trust with the parent. What does that coach dynamic look like today with a parent? And what advice would you have from parents listening to this on how to work that coach dynamic and also make sure they don't stand in the way of their son or their daughter, you know, reaching their fullest potential?
Well, number one, I think that as a coach or as that leader, you have to have some knowledge in your field. And it can't just be smoke. It's got to be stuff that you've heard and you know. You know, I would say you're starting out in any profession as a young person. You don't have the big base that you'd love to have to help all your players. But once you stay in it for 10 or 15 years, now you've got the base and now you've got the product that's already come through your system, where they've gone and what they've done. But I'm thinking that, hey, our number one goal is give you a good experience where you're at. And where you're at right now is high school. In your job market, it's where you're at. You're a second, third, fourth year person on whatever corporate level you're at. All right, from there, where do you want to go? I'll help you get where you want to go. But I'm not forcing this on you, because I know here at the golf course, we've got people here working, they're 45, 50 years old, that all they want to do is work with no responsibility. They don't want to move any higher. They're happy with their lives and they're making it through on the pay that they're getting. So I'm not going to try to force that guy to go higher, get him out of his comfort zone. If that's where you want to be, you're good. I think what we look at with our sports right now, we are trying to make every person think that high school is not the end of your career. Let's get you in college and play in college. Let's get you this. Let's get you. You know what? I don't know if I want to play past high school. So you know what? Then if you make that decision for me, it makes it easy. I don't make a lot of calls and I don't do a lot of extra work trying to get you to the next level. So I think it's knowing your families, knowing their situation. You tell me your expectations and I'll work my tail off to get those expectations to reality. But if they're not there, then you know what? Let's just have a good experience and let's play through high school. Let's win some games and hopefully go, you know, have some honors at the end of the season. And that happens. I mean, the thing I see now is that we're starting these young men and women at 7, 8, 9 years old, and we're trying to make a sport a 7 or 8 month sport. It doesn't have to be year round. I think, hey, take a break, because where you are at 7, you have no idea where you're going to be at 18. So if I'm playing on travel ball and I'm playing 60 games, to me, that's the easiest way to burn a kid out and say, you know what, Dad, I don't want to play this anymore. I played enough. And I've seen it at my school. I've seen kids who are good athletes. Instead of playing 3 sports, they put all their eggs in one basket and went one. It didn't pay off. And by the time they're a senior, they're either still playing or not really into it, or it's like, hey, I'm not playing anymore. I've had enough. Yeah. I'm going to get a job or I'm going to do this. So I'm not a big fan of putting all your eggs in one basket. Investing what you think is an investment, to me, it's a bad investment for a lot of kids.
Yeah, it's crazy because sports in general, it starts fun. Hey, I'm 5 years old. I'm playing T-ball. Everybody's running around having a good time. Maybe there are a few tears here or there. But at the end of the day, they get their ice cream and they have a great time. And then they get into, All right, now I'm in travel ball. All right, now I'm in high school. Now I got to get that scholarship. There's so much pressure of what's next rather than just enjoying it. And then they get done playing sports. And then what happens? They go back to playing slow pitch softball and it's fun again. And they go out and eat pizza and wings and ice cream afterwards. So it's like, how do you maintain that throughout your entire career that you don't just worry about, all right, well, what's next? What's next? What's next? How do you be present with it? And it does feel like the world is pushing us more towards performance, which there's nothing wrong with performance. But if it's all about performance, that's a little bit of a rough way to live.
Well, you know, and that's where the relationship becomes even more important, because what the player wants may not be what the parent wants, but the player can't tell the parents because with their relationship, they're afraid to actually tell dad or mom, I don't want to do this. So sometimes that's where the parent, the coach has to step in. The leader has to step in and say, dad, you're putting off a lot of pressure on Johnny. You know, well, I know he wants it. Well, you might want to sit back because I'm not so sure he wants his goal is the same goal as you have.
Wow.
You know, just enjoy it, because as a parent, and you know, and it becomes important for me because I'm a parent. Before I was a parent, I couldn't say, here's what I'm looking at with my own son and daughter. But now that I'm a parent, as I get older and I realize a little bit more how parents act, I've learned from some of the parents we've had or coached, say, here's what I would suggest. And not to say he's bad, but your son needs a break, or he's going to be in a situation where he doesn't want to show up anymore. Mm-hmm. Or your daughter the same way. So I think we can do the same thing at work. You know, I expect you to work 40 hours a week, but basically we need you here 50 hours a week. Well, you know, I got a little child at home. Mm-hmm. I got it. You know, I don't want to take my home with my work with me at home every night. You're the CEO. I understand that this is your life, but it's not my life. That's the same with a coach. I know coaching is your life, but my passion for the sport is not the same as a player as it is for the head coach.
Yeah.
Because I want this out of you. Well, I don't want that out of myself.
Wow.
So I just want to make it through and have fun. I just want to. So I think you got to look at those levels and say, you know what? I may be running off more people than I'm actually trying to help out and save.
What do they really want? Wow, that's so good.
You know, and I think that's part of that relationship that you need to find out and what you need to know going into how far you want to push them. Mm-hmm. If sky's the limit, then, you know, here's what you have to do. And Great. Let's go for it. If sky's not the limit, then let's back it off a little bit and say, okay, you know, for me, I didn't make my summer or my assistant coaches work on the field with me on Saturdays and Sundays. I just did it on my own because I knew they had a life and they enjoyed it. And I didn't make them run tournaments. I'd do it on my own. I'd be the guy, say, guys, you guys take the time off. You don't have to be here just because I'm here. I'm here because I want to be here. But if you can help out, I'd appreciate your help. Now, certain things come up. Guys, on this day, we need to all be here. And then they were more than willing to put in all the effort they needed to get through an event or help out on that day where it wasn't just expected that you'll be here every day. And what do I get out of it? You know, I might be able to get you a couple of dollars. I might be able to, you know, but their expectations was not to be a head coach.
Yeah.
I just like coaching. I just like coaching the JV and the freshmen. So I think you have that in all walks of life, how far I want to get up. And you know, it's exciting to get a person to the next level and help them, but it's also exciting to have an assistant coach for 12 years at a freshman level that you can know you can count on and depend on. That know that they're coming in to do the grunt work every day with the level that you don't have to worry about. And I think that's in every business in life that you can probably relate that to.
Sure thing. Wow, Tim. This is amazing. And where are you spending your time now? How are you helping in the game of baseball, sports, all that kind of stuff?
Well, I'm this spring I'll be coaching seventh grade baseball. I coached seventh grade after 2020. I coached seventh grade for 2 years. I coached varsity last year for 1 year, just a filler spot where the coach got dismissed and I took that position for 1 year, telling them, guys, I'll do this for a year, because we didn't get hired till late November. I'll do this for a year, but I'm not here for the long run. You know, you need to get somebody that's going to take and be here for 10, 15 years or more. And so I did it for 1 year and it was awesome. And then this year I went back and I'm going back to a seventh grade gig here in town just to help kids out. And just have something to do. I love the game of baseball. I love working with kids, and it's a seventh grade. It's interesting, but you're not, your expectations are just to having fun and let's improve. My goal always been all the way through high school is not, I don't want to be the one that runs you out of the game. You know, you stop playing because it's your, you make that decision, not somebody else. And I've always said, you know what, you don't let one person run you off. So whether it's in business or you don't let one boss or one coach run you out of the game and you leave forever because you're going to find it, you know, move on and go to another spot. And you'll find there's a lot of great people out there that, that you can work with. There's others that no one can work with.
Yeah.
So leave on your own terms is what I've always been able to try to use for myself, plus for my players and parents, and keep coming back when you're happy. You're more like seeing them in the stands coming back and supporting you and want to bring their kids back. And it's the same in all businesses.
Sure. Tim, fantastic. Whether you're a parent, right, a coach, a leader, there's something here for you. So I'm going to summarize this here in my takeaways, but this has been amazing, Tim. Is there anything else you want to leave with our audience?
No, I just think, you know what, and I've said this many times, parenting is such a different issue. There's so many things going on in life, but parenting is the only thing that we don't have to get certified for anymore to have kids. We got to get certified to teach, to coach, to be leaders in businesses. We have to have certifications, but not to be a parent. So I'm hoping that parents are in it for the right reason. And you can sit back and look at your child and have more one-on-one, eye-to-eye contact, eye-to-eye discussions. Get away from the video games for a while. Have some time set aside that we just need to be together as a family, or our family might be our work group because we have different families. We got families at home, and then we got our work group. We got our department group. We got the whole situation that you can make life better by just saying hi, just being positive. And if the leaders stay positive, then the people around them have a better chance of being positive. If the leaders are snarly, if they're hiding, if they're not willing to come out and talk, then you know what? You find out the people around them, they kind of emulate that as well. And I think you see it in all areas. I think you see it at church. You see it at, you know, anywhere we go. So I'd also like to say, you know, let the younger people ask their opinions sometimes, whatever business it is, because I'd ask our players, or not just our captains, ask our players, what would you do differently? You know, you lose two or three games, which means you've had two or three bad days. What do you think we need to do differently? And I'd be amazed that some of the comments you get from a person that doesn't even get in the lineup, it's not about them playing more. It may be about, I think you might want to move the third baseman from third and put him at short and take the shortstop and put him in center field and bring Johnny over here to third base. Yeah, that makes sense. He's got speed. He's got this, but I never really looked at that because this kid's always been, you know, the last 2 years, he's been a starter there. So it's amazing where that might lead you.
Yeah.
At least
yeah,
up and let you think a little bit. I've still got to make the final call, but at least I'm hearing some viewpoints from people. You know what? And when you use somebody's viewpoint or at least listen, it makes them more valuable to the team.
That's great.
Whatever team that might be.
Trust, transparency, communication. I'm hearing all of those themes, Tim. This has been amazing. And thank you so much for being a guest on the show.
Well, Casey, thank you. Looking forward to watching more of your podcast down the road. I've seen a few of them, and now I'm hooked. So I'm going to be involved with it and learn more from other people.
Awesome. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Dugout Nation, wow, what an amazing time with Tim. Three big takeaways I got for you. Number one, get belly to belly. Win people over. But in order to do that, you got to build trust. You got to understand where they're coming from. You got to be a great listener. You got to understand what they want, what their needs are, what their pains are, and how they're really doing. And if you can do that, you're going to earn trust. You're going to earn influence. And those are all the things you have to do to be a great leader. You can't just coach the game. You can't just coach the skills. You got to coach the person. Number two, it's the fun, hard, fun model. Sports, life, business, work, it's supposed to be fun. And it starts that way. You know how excited you were for that first day in the office or that first team that you played on? But then we forget sometimes that, hey, this thing's supposed to be fun. We do it for fun. We do it for impact. We do it with people that we love, people that we enjoy doing things with. So make sure that you don't lose fact that things that you're doing should be fun. The people you're doing should be fun to work with. And number three, where do you want to be? Get your players, those you lead, the vision that they have for themselves, not their parents' vision.
and then coach them accordingly. Not everybody that you lead is going to want similar things. Not everybody's going to want to be a professional athlete. Not everybody's going to want to own their own business one day. Not everybody's going to want to do big, amazing things. Some people are just cool with being cool. Good is good enough for some people. But those that want to be elite, if you can understand what people want, get them to put their goals on paper and then coach them up to it. And remember, enjoy every step of the way and make the most of every opportunity.
Thank you for joining us once more for another episode of The Dugout CEO. We want to get you the tips you need to become an MVP at what you do. Sign up for our Friday Focus newsletter and you'll receive a valuable tip each Friday morning to help you build the business and life you want. You can sign up by going to caseycavell.com or click the link in the show notes. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so you get notification on our next episode. And one way you can help us book more great guests like this is to please leave us a rating and honest review in the Apple or Spotify podcasting app.